Well, a very good day to you. Welcome to A Good Word for Today from God's Holy Word. I'm Gil Hammond here for Tri-State Gospel Radio, and we're going to be opening God's Word to the book of Acts today and finding His good word for us today. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your word which you gave to us through your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that is within us as your children. The Holy Spirit which is the seal upon our lives, your seal upon our lives. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our guide, our teacher, our helper, the one who is God with us today. Thank you for keeping us in your love and your care. Father, today as we open your word, we pray for your Holy Spirit to speak through me your word. It is my desire, Father, that the words I speak today not be my own, but it is my prayer that they are your words spoken in me and through me by your precious Holy Spirit. Father, give us all ears to hear, spiritual ears today, Father, to discern the spiritual truth that is your word. We honor you today. We praise you today. We worship you today. We exalt the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And it is in His name, the name that is above all names, that we pray. Amen and amen. Well, again, thanks so much for joining us today on A Good Word for Today from God's Holy Word. We're continuing with our messages concerning Jesus Christ and examining who is He? Is He who He claimed to be? The Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. Is He the one in whom salvation is found? That's who He claimed to be. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He claimed to be from God and one with God. We've been examining that question for a long time. And we've listened to the witness of God Himself. We've listened to the witness of the prophets throughout the Old Testament. We've listened to the witness of angels announcing the conception of Jesus Christ to Mary and to Joseph. We've listened to the angels announcing the birth of Jesus Christ to the shepherds. We've listened to Annas in the temple and Simeon in the temple. We've listened to Jesus Himself and to His apostles. And we are listening primarily now to the Holy Spirit in this church age in which we live, the age of grace, the age of the New Testament, the New Covenant that was ushered in by the blood of Jesus Christ Himself. He came to this earth, He said, to go to the cross and to pay sin's debt upon that cross of Calvary, a debt that we could not pay. Now, we've looked in the last couple of sessions at the many jobs of the Holy Spirit in our life today as children of God. The Holy Spirit, of course, came at Pentecost, 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, 10 days after His ascension to the Father in heaven. He gave instructions to those followers. He said, go to Jerusalem, gather together and be in prayer and wait for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And that is a key phrase, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is described in the Word of God as the very power of God. Jesus said in John chapter 16 that the Holy Spirit, when He comes, will convict of sin and of judgment and of righteousness. And He said, He will take of mine and give it to you. He will not speak of Himself, but He will speak of me. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to reveal Jesus to us. And the purpose of Jesus was to reveal the Father. So the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus, and Jesus reveals the Father. So the Holy Spirit's witness in the world today, through us as believers, is the primary way of the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's really what we're all about, is spreading the gospel message of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The empowerment to do that is the first function of the Holy Spirit in our lives on a daily basis. Now, His first function in everyone's life is to convict of sin and to bring to Jesus. And once we are brought to Jesus, and once we believe in Him and trust in Him and receive Him into our heart and into our life, and are born into the kingdom of God and become sons and daughters of God, then the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to lead us, to guide us, to teach us, to protect us, to empower us to do the work of God. Now, let me stress here that we do the work of God by surrendering ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and allowing Jesus to be Lord in our lives. When we're doing the work of God, it is God at work in us, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, doing His work in us and through us. We make a grave mistake when we decide on our own human abilities to do something for Jesus Christ or do something for God. When it is not God at work in us and working through us, then it is our own work, and our own work is always as filthy rags in the sight of God. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7. He said, "Many will stand before me in that day of judgment." And He's talking about the great white throne judgment of Revelation chapter 20. "Many will stand before me," He said. Now notice the word many. Just a few verses before, He said, "The way that leads to eternal life is narrow, and few find it." And He went ahead to say, "The way that leads to destruction is broad, and many go in thereat." And then down a few verses later, He says, "Many will stand before me in that day of judgment," that day of the white throne judgment, the day of the judgment of sinners. "Many will stand before me and will say to me, 'Have we not done great works in thy name? Have we not cast out demons in thy name? Have we not performed miracles in thy name?'" And Jesus said, "I will say to them, 'Depart from me, you workers of iniquity,'" sin. "You workers of sin, I never knew you." That's what Jesus said, "I will say to them." So what does this tell us? First of all, that there are many who fit into this category. Many who are busy doing what they think are the works of God. They're working for God instead of allowing God to work in them and through them. They're doing what they think is the right thing to do in doing works for God, not surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and allowing Him to work in them and through them. Now, these are the words of Jesus, not mine. He said, "Many, many." Now, remember, He said the way that's narrow, that leads to eternal life, which is me, He could have said, is narrow. He said, "I'm the door," in John chapter 10. He said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life," in John chapter 14, verse 6. "No one comes to the Father except by me." He said, "The way that leads to eternal life is narrow, and few there be that find it. But the way that leads to destruction is broad, and many go in thereat." And then later in Matthew chapter 7, "Many will stand before me in that day of judgment, and they will say to me, 'Have we not done great works in thy name?'" That's the key. They've done so-called great works in His name. It's not Jesus. He's not Lord of their life. He is not doing the work in them and through them. They're simply doing the work and putting a label for God on it. And if we look at this very carefully, we will quite probably see that they were doing the work for the praise of men, for the monument that they could build to themselves here upon this earth. In any event, they're not doing the work of God. They may be calling it work for God, but Jesus said it's iniquity, it's sin. He said, "Depart from me, you who work iniquity. I never knew you." So knowing Jesus Christ and having him know us is of paramount importance, my friend. Nothing is more important than that. And that brings us to the point that he is the only way to salvation. There is no other way to salvation other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the Holy Spirit empowers us to bring that message. The message of the gospel, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we're going to examine that more thoroughly in just a moment. But let's remember that the Holy Spirit is in us to empower us. Yes, the Holy Spirit functions in many ways. He has many jobs. He is teacher. He is a revealer of Jesus Christ. He is the helper. He is our comforter. He is our God. Our guide, rather. He has set us free from the law. He gives us life and peace. The Spirit bears witness to our own human spirit that we're the children of God. The Spirit commissions us and commissions to go and be ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit testifies of Jesus Christ. The Spirit gives a boldness to us to be witnesses. The Spirit intercedes for us with groanings and utterances. The Spirit works to sanctify us. So the Spirit has many roles and many jobs, God within us. But I want to examine the one that is giving us the power, the empowerment. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that not many days from now you will receive power. Let's read it. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. Power, the power of God within us, the Holy Spirit. The power of God gives us the strength to be his witnesses, gives us the knowledge to be his witnesses, gives us the boldness to speak out and to be his witnesses. Let me call to your attention just a moment. In Acts chapter 4, the Apostle Peter and then the apostles, they speak with a boldness chapter 4, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, filled with the Holy Spirit." They have asked him in verse 7, "By what power or in what name have you done this?" And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, responds to them down in verse 10, "By the name of Jesus, Jesus the Nazarene, Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. He is the stone which the builders rejected, which you rejected." Now, they observe the confidence in verse 13 of Peter and John and the apostles. So we see a boldness on the part of the apostles that is a result of the indwelling Holy Spirit, the very power of God. Now, in verses 23 and following, chapter 4 of Acts, we have recorded a prayer of the church. Now, they went through this prayer, and then down in verse 29, "And now, Lord," this is kind of the concluding part of the prayer, "and now, Lord, take note of their threats." Now, they're talking about the threats of the religious leaders, and especially the sect of the Sadducees in Jerusalem. Now, the Sadducees were so upset with the preaching of the disciples because they did not believe in an afterlife. So what were the disciples preaching? Resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the Sadducees were most upset, much more upset than the Pharisees at this teaching. So it was the sect of the Sadducees that came against the apostles and attempted to eradicate this new teaching. And then when they saw they couldn't eradicate it, their purpose was to try to contain it and to keep it from spreading farther and to keep it from spreading abroad. So they brought the disciples in and threatened them and said, stop teaching this, stop proclaiming this. And then in verse 19 of chapter 4, Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking what we have seen and heard. That, again, is the boldness that Peter and John and the apostles display. And that is a result of the indwelling power of God, the indwelling Holy Spirit within them. Now, if you remember Peter, back just days earlier, well, you could say about 50, 60 days before this, we're a few days after Pentecost. Pentecost was 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus. So if we go back to the time of the trial of Jesus, when Peter denied Jesus three times, he was a coward at that time. He denied his Lord, and he had said, I will never deny you. I'll die for you. And when it came down to the bottom line, Peter denied the Lord three times. Now we see this not the same Peter. We see Peter that is empowered by the Spirit of God, and we see him with a confidence and with a boldness that comes from the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. Now, we might notice the result of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believers and in the life of the early church. I spoke of this prayer just a moment ago in Acts chapter 4, verses 23 through 31. And in verse 29, let me read a few verses again. And now, Lord, take note of their threats, the threats of the religious leaders, and grant that thy bondservants may speak the word with all confidence or all boldness. While thou dost extend thy hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of thy holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. Now this is a result of the indwelling and empowering and filling of the Holy Spirit. Now remember, the filling of the Holy Spirit is to be a continuing thing for us. It's not a one-time event. It's not an event that's today and then next week and next week. It's to be a continual thing. It's this minute and the next minute. We are to be in a state or condition as believers of continually being filled by the Holy Spirit. The best example of this, I think, is what Jesus said back in the early chapters of John. He said, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And he goes ahead to say that he spoke of the Holy Spirit who was to come but was not yet come. And he said, it shall be this way. You shall be this way. You will have rivers of living water coming out of your innermost being. Now, it makes sense, you see. If we're to have rivers of living water coming out of us, rivers, not a stream, not a trickle, not one river, but plural, rivers of living water flowing from us, we must have rivers of living water flowing into us, you see. It's flowing in and through and out. And that's the purpose of the Holy Spirit, to be continually filling us with the Holy Spirit. Now, the result is a power. The result is a boldness to speak the word of God. The result is a knowledge of the things of God. For Jesus said, he will take of mine and reveal it to you. He is our teacher. He is our guide. He is our comforter. He is the very power of God within us. So the presence of the Holy Spirit gives a power and a boldness and a confidence to speak out in the face of threats, to speak out for Jesus Christ, to speak out the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, if we continue here in this chapter 4, let's look at the next verse. The result of this. There was a boldness, speaking of the word of God with confidence and boldness. And then in verse 32, and the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul. Another effect of the Holy Spirit. And not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. And with great power the apostles were giving witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. This is a result of the Holy Spirit living within the believers. There was a unity, there was a love, there was a sharing with one another. There was a realization that all things belong to God. Nothing is mine. Do you realize that today, dear friend? As a child of God, nothing is yours. It all belongs to God. Whatever we have is something that God has given to us for our use for a time. It is not ours permanently. It all belongs to God. Even we ourselves, as Paul said, we are not our own. We are bought with a price. And that price was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ shed upon the cross of Calvary. Now, the purpose then of the Holy Spirit in the life of the early believers is the same as the purpose of the Holy Spirit within us today. The Holy Spirit is the power and presence of God. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to reveal Jesus Christ. And our purpose, as Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said, "And you shall be my witnesses after the power of the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be my witnesses first here in Jerusalem, and then in Judea, and then in Samaria, and finally to the remotest part of the earth." We are to be his witnesses. This is the Great Commission, if you will. And we have, of course, another record of this Great Commission in the Gospel of Matthew. Right at the very end of Matthew, we have what we sometimes refer to as the Great Commission. And let's look at it for just a moment. Jesus is speaking. Jesus is appearing to the 11 disciples. And they proceed in verse 16, the 11 disciples proceed to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful, perhaps Thomas and maybe others too. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Now, his commission here is to make disciples. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Now, we are to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, what is the gospel? What is the gospel? Well, simply put, it is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's some other little nuances that we need to be sure are there. For example, Jesus is the only begotten Son of God the Father. He was born of a virgin. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, he is the Son of God. He is God manifest in the flesh, who came to dwell among us, and who came to this earth to go to the cross of Calvary and to die upon that cross and to shed his blood upon that cross, to take upon himself the sin of all mankind, the sin of the whole world, past, present, and future, and to pay for that sin upon the cross of Calvary with his own life and his own blood. Then the body of Jesus was taken down from that cross and placed in the tomb. And on the third day, by the power of God, he was resurrected from that grave. And because he lives, we too have the promise of resurrection. We serve a risen Savior today. We serve a risen Lord who sits at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for you and me as the children of God. So the gospel of Jesus Christ is, number one, that he is the Son of God, conceived of the Holy Spirit, conceived in the Virgin Mary, born as Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Son of God. He went to the cross in obedience to the Father to pay sin's debt upon the cross of Calvary. And when he said it was finished, or it is finished, at the end of his crucifixion, what he meant was that the purpose for which I came into this world is accomplished. It is done. I have finished the work that God sent me to do, the work of paying for all sin, for all mankind, for all time. For God so loved mankind that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is the gospel. The coming of Jesus Christ as the Son of God. The living of Jesus Christ as a man upon this earth and yet as God. The going to the cross to pay sin's debt for all of mankind. And on that cross he paid for all sin, for all mankind, for all time, past, present, and future, in order that whosoever will come to him might receive eternal life. In order that we who are the children of God may live in fellowship with God, confessing our sin, and God is faithful and just to forgive us of that sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the coming of Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the death of Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary, the payment of the sin for all mankind for all time by the body and blood of Jesus Christ, place that body in the tomb, the death, the burial, and then the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he lives forever and is returning soon to catch away the church, to catch away his own. And he will then return to the earth to establish his kingdom and to rule and reign upon this earth in the millennial kingdom as described in Revelation. My friend, Jesus Christ is real. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. As Peter said, there is salvation in no one else. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved other than Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus Christ was exactly who he said he was. He is the great I Am. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the Savior of mankind. And whosoever will come to him and believe in him and receive him will gain eternal life. Jesus said, I give eternal life to those who are my children. Let's look just a moment at John chapter 10, at the words of Jesus himself, when he spoke of himself being the shepherd and we're the sheep. Here's what he said in John chapter 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. What a wonderful promise from Jesus Christ himself. Now, eternal life is found in Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way to come to God except through Jesus. There is no other way to gain eternal life except in Jesus Christ. We must believe in him. We must trust him. We must receive him into our heart and life as our Lord and our Savior. It's our prayer here at Tri-State Gospel Radio that you have done just that. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior. God is not willing that anyone should perish. God's desire is that everyone come to a saving knowledge of His Son, Jesus Christ. And that, my friend, is a good word for today from God's holy word. I'm Gil Hammond for Tri-State Gospel Radio.